Motherhood is the biggest sisterhood of them all. Before we became mothers, we were individuals with hopes, dreams, and aspirations. But sometimes, as mothers, we lose sight of ourselves through the hustle and bustle of everyday life. Hi, I'm your host, Dawn Imani. Just a friendly mother that wants to chat about raising kids, chasing dreams, and highlighting the many inspirational stories of the mothers that do it. Just like that. So pull up, grab yourself a motherly beverage, and get ready to ride this roller coaster we call life. Condensed into a show. Welcome to Milk Podcast, and it's time to meet today's mother you'd like to friend. Thank you, everybody. You made it back to Milk Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest, an actual friend of mine, Nicole Rivera Hartery. Welcome, Nicole. It's so nice to see you and have you on my show. Nicole is amazing in so many different ways. And could you just introduce yourself to my guests and tell us a little bit about what it is that you do?
Well, my name is Nicole Rivera Hartery. I am a beekeeper and a mother. Those are basically my main two occupations at the moment. At the moment, I feel like it's more mom because we got COVID and all this situation. So, you know, playing teacher's assistant and all that stuff. And then tending to the bees, trying to get that done. So whatever you want to know, Dawn, just feel free to ask me. First, I want to thank you for your support. You've been very, very supportive throughout, you know, this journey of mine. And I certainly do appreciate it. And thank you for having me on.
You know, I truly, you know, when I sent you that letter, the email, I truly mean it. Like, I am so intrigued and so proud of you for stepping out and getting into what you're doing, beekeeping, because you're like literally saving the planet with what you do. Like, you're a real life superhero right now. Could you tell us how you got into beekeeping?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy story because it was just kind of like a choice, but I was in the mortgage industry for a while and I wanted to make the change into something, but I wanted to do something I was passionate about. And right after my second Rosie was born, we went to a museum here in Philly, learned about their observatory hive, and that was 6 years ago. And it blew my mind on what the workers saw that was going on. So throughout the years, I had been pretty obsessed with bees and all that stuff. And I was just, when I was ready for the change in the career, I actually did a lot of praying and just a lot of just, I need to do something else. I want to do something passionate. And it's kind of something where I kind of do feel it was divine intervention because I don't feel like I would have thought of beekeeper. It's kind of one of those things where it was just, I feel like it was almost like a week long prayer. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, beekeeping. I'm passionate about bees. I'll be a beekeeper. I don't know how that even came to be. But as soon as it popped into my head, I was just like looking up different programs, looking up the state. Cause you know, here in New Jersey, we're agricultural state. So I figured I knew, okay, they have to have something with bees and just did some research into it. That was in the month of May. I want to say 2017. And in that following October, I was in the Rutgers apiculture program. That was a 3 day long program. So that was like, yeah. So you had to like have like hours in and stuff like that. So it was like a certification program. On the last day, I spoke to the instructors about, you know, helping them. And 2 days later, I was assisting them. So I started working on their hives and everything, which was perfect for me. And actually something I had prayed for as well, because I really wanted to go into this field with a mentor. I didn't want to just buy bees and just see how it worked. You know what I mean? Like, I really wanted to go into this with some education under my belt and somebody I can go to for help. And I still go to them. They are a gift because I call them all the time and they pick up. It's pretty much like how I got into it, how I started. So I was working on their hives with them. And then that season I was working by myself.
That is so cool. Like, for one, yeah, like, who would have thought beekeeping? But I mean, it's so important. It's like one of those things that we overlook all the time, because bees pollinate, basically they're one of the main pollinators of most of our agriculture, right? And a lot of our local plant and wildlife. So we need bees to sustain our environment. It's interesting how you kind of just happened upon, like, you went to the museum, you happened upon that and then got that idea in your head. And now all of a sudden you're like, man, you know?
Yeah. And it's just kind of weird, because all growing up, I wanted to be a marine biologist. And then, like, my senior year in high school, I was like, oh, fashion. I like fashion, and did school. But so when I decided to do the beekeeping, it wasn't out of my nature. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel like it was something that was like, oh my gosh, I would never do that. Like, if you told me 5 years ago, like, oh, your future self is going to be a beekeeper, I'd be like, say what? But it's certainly something I've always loved, you know, animals and more marine life was like my thing. I had actually, to be honest with you, probably a year prior to that, I was actually thinking about going to school for marine biology, because it was like something that it was like such a passion of mine. And I think Rutgers does have a marine biology program. So, yeah.
The sky's the limit, girl. Don't stop there. Don't stop with the bees.
So, we'll see. We'll see where I wind up in 5 years or 10 years with this. You know, my main goal as far as this is to educate. That was like something I had no idea what, I just knew I wanted to do it. And then while, you know, working with Rutgers, then that's when I realized, like, we didn't have this opportunity as kids. Nobody told us about beekeeping. Maybe if you went to like Pemberton or something like that, you know what I mean? Where there's farms and stuff like that. But like, nobody told us about this. And this is entrepreneurial. You know what I mean? This is something where you're working with the planet, you're doing your part, and it's entrepreneurial. And we didn't have this growing up, you know? So now that the pollinators are endangered, it is something that is in schools now. You see a lot of teachers talking about it. I've become a part of their programs. And at the same time, I'm teaching little black and brown kids like us, you know, what they can do. And you know what I mean? So that was like my main goal, and still is, to just continue this education in it.
I was going to say, like, to state the obvious, as black and brown women and children, people, but black and brown people, more specifically black and brown women, we aren't encouraged to go into the sciences, you know, and women, period. You know, we're not encouraged to reach out and ask questions about the earth and ask questions about the environment around us. You know, we're more so pushed toward fashion, which nothing's wrong with that. But, you know, fashion, singing, the arts, maybe being a teacher, which is all nice. But what about the earth around us? Our environment affects us, and we need to be a part of that. And I love that you are going into schools and you are teaching about beekeeping, but even just being who you are, that representation speaks volumes. And I'm sure you get a lot of interest, not only because what you're doing is interesting, but because you are the person that you are teaching it.
Right. Like for instance, Hidden Figures, like those women, like, they're the women who, you know, figured everything out about going to space and everything, you know, black women. So for me, the two most important things is actually stepping into the classroom, like getting into the classroom and being with these kids is a big deal for me. So they can just see me, you know, so they can just see me, because like I told Mithun, like, it's not, the kids don't question it. You know what I mean? The kids aren't kids aren't the ones questioning. They're not saying, oh, but you're a woman. Oh, but you're Black. Oh, but you're Puerto Rican. Like, they're not the ones saying that. You know what I mean? Like, when they see it, they see a beekeeper. And I'm going to be their first experience with a beekeeper. So whether it's a memorable experience that they're, that'll stay with them, that's what they're going to see. And that's going to be able to help whoever they are. It's going to help encourage what they want, or maybe their children. They're going to be able to see it. You know what I mean? They're going to be able to push and, you know, whatever their kids or whatever they want, they're going to, it's about cutting boundaries, you know?
And normalizing, seeing people of all backgrounds, men, women, whatever, in certain positions, because, you know, we don't, when you watch TV, I think a lot of what we see on TV is homogenized. And I think nowadays it's a little, it's a lot better than when we were kids. You know, we only saw certain, you know, typecast and people in certain roles, but kids don't question that. You know, only when we're adults do we look back and say, hey, you know what? I never did see a Black beekeeper or a Latina beekeeper or a marine biologist that was, you know, a Black and brown person. We don't.
Or the TV kept had us hold it on by a thin thread because, you know, watch it Saved by the Bell. We all love Lisa Turtle.
Yes.
Our very own Saved by the Bell. So that was all right. of us, you know?
Yeah. But it was extreme. It was either, you know, like you would see, like, if the ethnic person was well off, what were they normally very into? Materialistic things, you know, they were kind of one dimensional, and need to see that variety, you know, and I love that. I love that about you, because you've always, even growing up, I admired that about you, because you weren't like one type of person. Like, you always seemed to go with the flow. You always were questioning things. You know, that's what I saw from you. You always questioned a lot of things, and you always wanted to like try new things. And even, you know, if it wasn't the cool thing or the popular thing, like, it, like, you're just like, look, I want to know about this. And I think that is so important for everybody to be like that, because, you know, we can't just be stuck in this box and these boundaries and, you know, told who we are, you know, especially as mothers. Like, we can't just be stuck in that role of, you're a mom, that's all you're going to do, that's all you're good for, you know, because you are an individual. And part of being an individual is learning about life and learning about the things that you like, learning about the things that, you know, maybe you don't like. But I really do admire that about you. And you see that in you taking a risk, taking a chance. You know, you were in an industry that, you know, probably was making, you know, pretty lucrative, but you stepped out on faith and tried something new and tried something that was self-fulfilling. And that can be a scary thing. So how did you manage making that transition, especially with being a mother?
That's a good question. Thank you for even noticing like certain personality traits of mine. It was, I'm be completely transparent. One of the reasons why I feel like this is certainly my purpose, because when I made the decision a couple months later, my husband, he had gotten a job offer, and I had never not been in a position where like I couldn't work. The job is very intense. His job is very intense. And his schedule, at the time, he was working on 3 shifts. They changed it to 2, but it was a position where I was going to have to quit my job because of our daughters. So the whole situation for me was kind of blindsiding at fact, because I emotionally, it was rough, because I had never saw myself not working. We were never in a position where I couldn't work. I had to work. I had to make money. We had to both pay bills. So for me, doing that, it felt like it was something that was completely out of my control. You know what I mean? To be told like, no, like, Nicole, like, this is what's happening. You're going to have to quit your job. So that within itself was very hard, you know, because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do? Like, throughout this, I still had my beekeeping in mind. So as I'm going through this emotionally, what's being set for me is the time to do this beekeeping. So it was something that was very hard to swallow, but at the same time, I was realizing, okay, I need to, this is what's being set for me, and I need to take advantage of this, you know, because even through some of the emotional ups and downs I was going through, I was able to like kind of pull myself together and say, you know what, I got to run to this farm and see if they need a beekeeper, or, you know, I got to do this, or I got to run and get some bee equipment. I got to set myself up for March. You know what I mean? So there was a lot going on at the same time, and then wanting to create this business, but do it step by step. I'm a very much step by step person, and I'm a very much, I don't want to put too much on my plate because I want to get it done. So I admire a lot. There's a lot of these other beekeepers, man, that I admire, because I don't know how they do it, because they do it with full-time jobs. They do it with kids, and then they beekeeping, and beekeeping is intense. Beekeeping is really, really intense. So I had to like figure out, like, I had to figure out, okay, I needed bees on my roof. I need another place. So I had to do like a lot of physical running around and seeing who will allow me to keep bees here, keep it there. And that's where I came to the Mount Laurel Animal Hospital, and they allow me to keep bees there. So in case, you know, I need to spread out. So it was a lot. And then the motherhood on top of being a mother, taking care of my daughters, and, you know, that was always the easy part. You know what I mean? Like, cause you know, we get up, we do our thing. But it was getting to know them in a different way too, because I was home instead of, you know, doing the drop off, coming home. And it was a complete change. So it was getting to know my daughters in a different way. We became a team of three, because my daughters have different passions. They don't care for beekeeping, but they are very, very much a part of the hustle. So, you know, they help me. I'm dragging them to the hives, you know. So that was one thing. And then COVID hit, and that's a whole new thing. So this year, 2020, has been hard for me as far as time.
But you touched on a few good points. Talking about divine timing, I mean, you had the idea of, you know, possibly getting into the beekeeping, but, you know, you probably didn't know in what way your journey was going to take you, but it kind of was like set out for you. Your husband had to take this job and you had to leave your job. So it was like the table was set for you. Now, you know, God's like, all right, here you go. Go. You know, so you took off running. You took it. It seems like you didn't question it, but like it was ready for you. And what do they say? When preparation meets opportunity, you know, that's luck, right? Because you did that legwork. You looked into the information. You already kind of had an idea of how to do it. And now you have the opportunity to create this business full time. And also to, you know, with that, spend more time with your children, which a lot of people don't get to do. You know, I too am a stay at home mom. And I got laid off from my job. And I, you know, my husband, you know, said, you know what, stay home. It's cheaper to just stay home. So just stay home. You do what you can, but you also make the best of the time and the circumstances that you have. And I think that is so important as a woman, as a mother, as a human being, to make the most out of your life, because life is for living. It's not just for surviving and maintaining. It's for, you know, I mean, everybody's road isn't going to take them to be the president of the United States or whatever, but you can make an impact. You know, whether it's quietly or whether it's loud, you can make an impact. And beekeeping is one of those things where it's not really like out there and flamboyant, you know, you're not juggling bees, you know, but you are making quite the impact. And it's awesome through your teaching and through your, you're like a bee rock star right now, you know, but you know, who would have thought? Who would have thought? Now, how do your daughters, I know you mentioned your daughters not really being into the beekeeping aspect, but how do they see, you know, how do you think they see this change in the family dynamic with you staying home and being a beekeeper and being at home with them full time?
Well, my older daughter, she's 10, she's in the fifth grade. She said to me, I think last week, like, mommy, I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna start to cry. But she said, mommy, I'm so proud of you. She was like, you went for your passion and you're doing it. Like, she said that to me. And that to me is very important, that she's like, to be a role model, like to have daughters, you know what I mean? Like, you have daughters, like, it is like so important because they put these gender roles on us, you know? And that is something very important for me, for my daughters to see. They have to be a part of this hustle. You know what I mean? They have to see, listen, you don't have to be a beekeeper, but you know what? You work hard for what you want and don't let nobody tell you, and you do it on your own. You know what I mean? So for my older one, she says she's 10. She can see and be very much of the change. For my 6-year-old, tell you the truth, I don't know if she remembers life without bees. You know what I mean? So she's very much like, ah, there's a bee all in the house. And like where the bees are on the roof, it's right above their bedroom. So she's always telling me, mommy, make sure you close the cat. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, it's very much a part of their lives, because especially like now, like with the winter and the cold, like I have frames that need cleaning and I do it for the bees. So the bees come off the roof and they'll help clean off the frames. And I got a whole picnic table full of bees. So, you know, it's like, it's kind of cool to like sit there and just like watch my kids play. And then there's like bees, you know what I mean? And it's just very much a part of their life. My older one, her passion is art. So I help fuel that passion of hers. Bees are always here. So, you know, it's always something either one of them could get into whenever, you know. I'm not going to push it on them. They have their own individualities, own personalities. You know, I'll help fuel whatever passions they have.
But that's the point, you know, for them to see you and to see that you had a passion and you went for your goal and you have achieved it and you are creating success in it. That's what being a MILF is. And that's what being a mom is. And that's what being just a damn good human being is. Just taking that vision and taking that passion. I'm sorry, Leilani's looking at me like, she cursed. Sorry, but it's true. You know, I had to put that emphasis on there because it is so true. I think a lot of times, like I said before, sometimes we just kind of settle for the standard. You know, we settle for living inside of that box. Okay, I went to college, I got a 9-to-5, and I've got 2.5 kids and a dog, but does that make you happy? Does that sustain you? I don't know. There are some other things that you were interested in that may not have been status quo, but guess what? Now you are able to dive into that and fulfill that passion, that want to learn about it, and you're making an impact and your children are seeing that. And not only are your children seeing it, but you're teaching other children to see that, and us adults. Like, I'm a full grown adult, like I've lived my life, but I'm so inspired by seeing that you stepped out on faith and are showing and proving to us mothers and to us women that we can go out there and do the thing that maybe not everybody does, and do it your way, because you look like you have so much fun doing it. I love seeing the videos of the bees, and you know, I'm on there liking every picture. And I mean, even if even if I didn't know you, like I would still be into it because it's cool. And it's just, it's so interesting and it's inspiring to see your growth and to see where you started. Cause I do remember when you like had your picture of your certification and I was like, oh, okay. Okay, girl, let's see where, and you know, and then going on and seeing how you've learned. And even I didn't know the backstory. So learning that story and then just, you know, getting your honey, because that honey is was delicious. I need more honey.
Well, I have a last batch. That's another thing. Like I do have a last batch and I'm just, it's just dedicating to like the local. So like you and like other people, because I only have the last batch, but for me, it's important that the local people such as yourself get it for medicinal purposes. But yeah, it's been quite a journey, girl. Like I'll tell you, it's been crazy because all my pictures and everything, like you said, like my certifications, like my profile was on private until February. I had just a private profile and I just was putting pictures of the bees because I just wanted to help educate my friends and family as long as I was getting educated, you know? And then I took my profile off of private because it was like, okay, well, I have a business. You know what I mean? Like, you got to promote your business in some sort of way. And it just kind of blew up. Like, the support with the honey has just been kind of, like, almost a little overwhelming because it's been great. It's been an awesome experience. It's been great meeting people and talking to people because, you know, I do the deliveries. So it's nice to talk face to face to people and just see, you know, I'm glad that people are enjoying it because most of that honey was from my roof. So, yeah. So it's very urban honey, you know,
that's so amazing. And, you know, I know that when you have local honey, that is medicinal. So if you're listening, it is important to, when you buy certain foods like honey, that you get it locally sourced, because there's certain, or maybe you can explain it a lot better than I can, but there's, you know, your local allergens and things that are in your area that is carried in the honey, and it actually kind of builds up your immune system. Maybe you can elaborate more.
So like when you do buy honey and you buy locally, it's good to buy honey that's within the 50 mile radius because of whatever nectar or floral source the bees are going to get, most likely there are allergens or something in there that will help the allergies and help your immune system. It's like a natural allergy shot. You go to the doctors, get the allergy shot. Very similar situation. Also, it's an immune booster. So what you have in the honey will help your immunity. Just like if you're sick with a cold, you take that. It's a natural cough suppressant. Honey is definitely a gift to us. And with that, us beekeepers, there's a lot going on with the honey and, like, you know, us beekeepers taking the honeys from the bees and stuff like that. But me and all the other beekeepers I know, we don't leave the bees without, you know, we take what we can and that's it. You know what I mean? We take what we can, we leave. Also, it's removing the honey is necessary because we have to prevent things like swarming, like especially me, I have to prevent things like swarming because a swarm from my hive could wind up in somebody's house. Yeah, so it is important, but we never leave the bees without their food source packed with honey. They got their food source for the winter. We have their overflow, you know what I mean? So just wanted to go over with that. But that's
awesome. You do you have a respect for your hives, for your bees, because they're kind of like, would you say they're kind of like a, maybe not a pet, or maybe a pet or a family member in a sense, because you're taking care of them.
It's hard to say because there's a lot of mixed emotions into it because what I say a lot of times, it's like with the bees, like even the male beekeepers, like it becomes very maternal or paternal because you are taking care of them. However, we are working with them. We are working with them. So the bees are a guide to what they're doing. You know what I mean? That's why we have to observe and see their health and what is going on with them. You know, they don't do what we want. They do what they want. So that's why, like, as far as like the Varroa mite, which is a big killer of the bees, one of the main killers. That's why it's like we have to make sure we're treating at the appropriate times and making sure and just observing each colony, because bees, insects are a lot like people. Like, the weaker the colony, the more susceptible to things they are. The stronger the colony, they're not, you know? So it's just about, you know, it's just about helping them, you know? It is more about helping them, because they are very independent, democratic colony, and they do what they want. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just say, no, don't go, like a dog. It's not that easy. But you do have this like maternal instinct, because you do want the best for them. Sometimes it can get stressful, because it's like, okay, they're doing this, so I have to do this. I have to make sure I do this, and I have to do this fast, because it's fast, especially spring, summer, you know, it's fast. So it's like, I have to hop on this. Oh, I see this happening. I have to hop on this. So yeah, you do want the best for them. So it's, I definitely wouldn't call them a pet, because we are working with them, but you do have this maternal instinct care, paternal instinct care for them.
I always wondered that, because, you know, like you said, they do their own thing. You can't like teach them to fly through hoops or anything like that. But right. You are certainly, I like that, what you're saying, that approach of you're observing, you're allowing them to do what they do naturally, but, you know, you're still kind of like helping them help each other, essentially.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So with that, how does beekeeping, or do you feel like beekeeping has had any change in your perspective on parenting? Because you're so, you're in tune with nature, and you're in tune with, you know, you have to be with the seasons and with the elements and how that affects your bees. Do you feel like you have taken some of that into your parenting at all?
I wouldn't say parenting specifically, because I feel like it's changed me as a person in just in general. It's just changed my perspective of things in general, you know? What you can say, yeah, you know, as far as like, it's made me more wanting to push my daughters into just doing your passion, and you know what I mean? Because in beekeeping, the colonies, the workers are the women. The women run the show, but it's not just beekeeping. It's nature in general. It's nature in general. Women, the female, run the show. And we're the human race has taught us, oh, that we're the weaker gender and all this stuff. They put systems in place to keep us down, you know, as far, just for example, like you can do the same position as your male counterpart and get paid way less and be a better boss or be a better employee. And it doesn't matter, because we are told through, you know, whether it be religion or way of life or perspectives, we have just been taught that we are the weaker gender. But when you look at in every aspect of nature, the females are the one that run the show. They're the ones that run everything, you know? And in our homes as mothers, we run the show. We're the ones that do everything. You're working your 9 to 5, you're doing the laundry, you're cleaning the house, you're taking care of these kids, you got babies, you got to feed those babies, you got to put clothes on those babies, doing everything. We run the show, but yet we're taught that we're a weaker gender. So to see and start noticing in life and in nature around us, like who actually runs the show, you know, it does change your perspective in life, and it does, you know, put things in place to teach your daughters or your sons that like, this is who you are. don't ever let anybody tell you you can't. And in general, we grow up like that, but to physically see in nature, what is happening and what has always happened. Like, for instance, the lions, they call him the king of the jungle, but who is really running the show? Like, honestly, he chilling on a rock, but the women are the ones who catch the food. The women are the ones who take care of the babies. You know what I mean? Like, he's just there looking pretty for them in all actuality. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So that's so true, though.
it's the absolute truth. Like, we're told this guy the king of the jungle, but.
Well, yeah, of course he's living like a king because he's being taken care of. But, you know, who is the power behind that? Who is the force? You know, there is in the lions, it's the women. It's a colony of women. Yeah. And usually there's only one male lion.
And he got to put out
their use.
for them. Exactly. And he got to do it when they want it. So. Who is really running the show?
Exactly. Okay. And that's kind of like with bees too, because it's a colony of female bees. And then there's maybe a few male bees that are there for.
Right. Okay. So there's with the bees, it's, you see it when the spring and summer hits, because there's times of mating and stuff like that. So they make sure, and the beautiful thing about bees is they have accountability. I mean, you have in your height of your season, you have 40 to 60,000 bees in a colony, and they know a count of every single one. These workers know every single one, how many are in there. So the purpose of the male bee is to mate with the queens. So, you know, they go through their hormonal change, and then they go out, and then they'll mate with a queen, or they do their thing. During the mating, they die. Yes, their genitalia explode and die. So, I mean, which is a very important act, but you fast forward. Okay, so let's say we're getting past the summer, right? In our area, you know, we're the Northeast, so we hit wintertime. These bees know, okay, wintertime is coming. We got to kick some of these bees out, and all the male bees are kicked out. Yeah, all the male bees are kicked out because the winter bees have to do their work inside the hive during wintertime. So, yeah, it's, you know, they're giving the boot.
That's deep. I didn't even know, I don't even know why I didn't think about how nature, how savage nature is, you know? I mean, and maybe when you talk about how our male dominated society tries to impose on women that we are the weaker of the two, right? Of the two sexes. But I mean, really, and I always have this conversation with my husband. I always feel like in our society, they try to pull us away from what is natural, you know, especially now, you know, the kids, we're afraid to go outside. Everybody's on their computers. Everybody's on their phones. And, you know, we're not playing out in nature. We're not experiencing the earth, you know, and I feel like if we were to actually go outside and experience what is our beautiful earth, we would see the truth. We would see the truth and the beauty of the female, the feminine energy. And I don't know, I don't want to be all feminism, but you know, that there is that energy there. It is important that we recognize how special we are, how strong.
One second, my kids are being a little too. Sorry.
My kids are actually being quiet. Whew. But, you know, I think, you know, we need to it's important for us to recognize how strong we are, the strength in our feminine energy and what our bodies can do, what our minds can do. You know, I feel like as women, we are conditioned to take so much. You know, there's so much pressure on us, and we make it through. We maintain, you know, like you said, we have to be the one to hold it together. Yeah, yet we're told we're weak. Why? We are not weak.
They talk. Now, this is going to be blunt, but they talk about women and, you know, men. It's as if our vaginas and women parts are a disability. Oh, it's because you're a woman because of this or because of this. But this is what brings life into the world. We're our vaginas, our uteruses, we're the ones who bring life into this world. So to be talked down to like that, you know, in our society, you know, and like I said, there's a bunch of different reasons for it. I think a lot of it has to do a lot, like whatever religious background, which no offense to whatever religion you are, whatever, but you have these standards too, that have nothing to do with religion, that, you know, that it's like, why throughout the years, us women, we have to fight for certain rights, and you know what I mean? But we're the ones who bring life into this world and have to hold everything together and deal with our issues and on top of that, our own, you know? And like you said before, like, it's important as mothers to recognize what we love and to do it, you know, to maintain who we are. Because when we, after we have kids and we do all that, we do tend to lose ourselves a bit. We tend to lose ourselves in the motherhood. You know what I mean? We become mothers, and then it's like you go back and forth, because it's like you kind of feel like, oh, this is who I am now. And it's like you start kind of remembering, oh, I used to do this, and I used to do that, and I used to do this. You can still do that. You can. It's harder. It's harder now. But the reward of having that self-love, and because the happier you are, the happier mother you're going to be.
Exactly, exactly. And you can't pour into your children's well-being if you yourself are not well, you know. And that's something that I struggle with too, because, you know, there's so much pressure. And even though I'm at home, being a mom is a 24/7, 25/8 job, you know. And even, you know, when I was working full time, I still, you know, and my job was pretty demanding, you know, and I was always on call from my job, and I would come home, and, you know, and because my husband made more money than me, and, you know, his job took precedence. So like, if I had got called into work, I'd have to take the kids with me, you know, when it came to, like, you know, just like with you, you know, when it came to, okay, well, who's going to stay home with the kids? You know, we lose ourselves. And I think a lot of that is structured in our society, you know, as far as, like you mentioned earlier, your male counterparts were being paid. I had a staff of, and I'm being, transparent here, I had a staff of about 10 or 12 people. I did hire a female, but before it was all male. I had a member of my staff that made more money than me, and I was their boss, you know. But, you know, and for whatever reason, it just was what it was. And, you know, I learned a lot from that job, but, you know, it makes me think, you know, going forward, I can't allow that to happen. And I'm not going to lessen myself and lower myself because, oh, you know, because there's always that stigma of, oh, angry Black woman, or, you know, those types of stereotypes with women. We're supposed to be meek and humble. Oh, no. But when you look to nature, you know, what makes the world go round? What keeps our earth moving? That feminine, that strength, and that feminine energy. So I need to exercise that strength in my feminine energy, and I'm smart and I'm strong and I know what I'm doing. So pay me, run me my coins where I want to be, where that money resides, you know, pay me what for what I'm worth, you know what? And not only am I worth doing the job that I'm doing, if, you know, in a 9-to-5, but I'm going home and I'm still maintaining structure and balance in feeding into my family and my kids, giving them life. So yeah. I'm doing 200% more than any man could do. And I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but that is so true. And I'm glad that you pointed that out, because that is important for women across the board. Listen, whether you're a mother or not, like, you have the power. Don't be afraid to ask for that money. Don't be afraid to be paid what you're worth, because believe it or not, they're going to try it.
Yeah.
As nice and friendly as they are, they're going to try it. They're going to try to give you less than what you're worth. But you know what, we got off topic, but I really, you know, I really appreciate, you really, what you do, because, and what you explained and what you taught us about how the bees operate, and just even just your life in general, I see that there's kind of like there's a similarity there, just how earth works. I'm trying to bring this to a close. How earth works, how feminine energy, and I'm going to call it that, there's that strength in that feminine energy and in that maternal energy, and how we, you know, work in our homes, in our home life, and raising our children, and then how the earth works, how
and sisterhood too, because that is something else that the bees have really opened up my eyes to, the sisterhood and the camaraderie. How it is, like, you've seen some of my pictures of just like the, you know, the bee stopping just to clean off another bee, you know what I mean, like when she's hurt or something, and the sisterhood dynamic in the colony is huge. And it's something else in society that we need, you know, and especially I feel like us women of color, I feel like in ways we are put against each other. We could be doing the same thing, but you're better, or you're better, or there's something we see in her, and it's so important that we come together as a team. You know what I mean? We lift each other up, and we have to recognize when we are put against each other, because that, to me, that is something I have definitely learned in 2020, and especially in beekeeping too, because, you know, especially with social media and everything, 2020 is definitely a social media year, because we ain't going nowhere. So you meet in beekeeper, you know what I mean? And you feel the sisterhood here and you don't feel it here, because all of a sudden, oh, there's a competition here. Oh, there's I'm the lipstick beekeeper. You know what I mean? And it's like, No. It's like, we are a team. We have to recognize when these outlets are putting us against each other, when even other beekeepers of not color or whatever, they want to feature us. We cannot make it a competitive thing. You know what I mean? We are a team. And that's the one thing that, like, with some of these interviews that I've done, they've done like putting like change the face of beekeeping and stuff like that, which my goal is not to change the face, because we have male beekeepers of colors. We have female beekeepers of colors. We have LGBTQ+ community that is underrepresented, which is a whole representation within itself, because you have every race and nationality in there too. So it's just about normalizing us and making sure we're a team, but we have to recognize when people are putting us against each other too. And we have to keep that camaraderie, you know? Amen. So that is something the bees have really, really taught me these past few years in the field too.
And I guess, you know, what you're saying is like, I don't guess, I know what you're saying is so important. There is room for everyone.
Yes.
There is room. There's billions of people on this planet, right? And, you know, like you said, there's 40,000 bees in a colony and they recognize each one. So if there's 40,000 bees and they can all recognize each other, why can't we do that as humans?
Right.
We are all special. And what is so special about us is that there's no one like you. There's no one like me.
Right.
There's no one like that other podcaster that's talking about women empowerment and motherhood. There's no one like the other beekeepers out there, you know? So everybody brings something to the table.
Right.
And this world is big enough for everybody to have a seat. Thank you so much, Nicole, for just sharing with us your journey and really just pouring that positive energy into this show and into what you're doing with beekeeping and saving the world and showing us what a phenomenal mother you are. Before we close, I would really love it if you could share with us maybe some advice or something that you hold dear that has brought you through your journey.
If you are passionate about something, go for it. We have to make the time. Sometimes we feel like the world and everything, as mothers, we don't have time. We don't have time, but we have to make time. That is my biggest advice. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You have to make the time. Even if it's 5-10 minutes, you can do it. You know, you have 3 kids, you have 2 kids, you have 1 kid, you know, life feels on top, but you have a passion, you make time for that passion. You know, sometimes it, you know, we got the world against each other, whatever, and all this stuff, it's chaotic. You know what? Send the kids to grandma's house for a couple hours and take care of yourself. Dive into whatever it is you want to do, whatever it is you want to do. Even if it's just a hobby, even if it's just a hobby, do it. You know, don't put it off, because you're going to look 10 years from now and you're going to say, oh, maybe I could, because you know what? 10 years from now, your kids are going to be 10 years older, you know? So we can do it. We can encourage, and I can encourage you, Dawn. I can encourage my kids. I can encourage my husband. I can encourage myself. And that's my advice. Do it.
Absolutely. Do it. Do the thing. Do whatever it is. Even like you said, that's so important. Even if it's just a hobby, you don't have to be, you know, what is success? Success is what you make it in your mind.
And exactly.
Ultimately, success is just being happy and being proud of yourself. So I'm so proud of you. Could you just let us know where we can find you?
Well, my Instagram handle, that's basically my main social media, because like I keep my Facebook on private. But my Instagram handle is Rivera, RIVERAXN. And I have a website, beesonmainstreet.com. Street is abbreviated as ST. So beesonmainst.com.
Thank you so much for sharing. I really enjoyed our conversation today, and I definitely learned so much about beekeeping and just looking to nature. You know, I think we forget sometimes how important it is to just dig our feet in the sand and let that fresh air hit us and look at the world around us.
Absolutely.
So I really appreciate you, Nicole.
Well, thanks for having me on. This was fun.
You've made it to the end of MILF Podcast. Thank you so much for all of your support and for subscribing to our channel. Please follow MILF Podcast on all social media. Special thanks to today's guest, the incredible Queen of the Bees, Nicole Rivera Hartery. Thank you for sharing with us how your journey of stepping out on faith has led you to an important relationship with the environment and has given you a newfound respect and a stronger connection to your feminine power. Please join us next week to meet more mothers you'd like to friend.